Across the country, thousands of desks in hundreds of open space offices remain empty. Abandoned in mid-March thanks to a pandemic that forced millions of Americans out of the modern workplace.
We're seeing industries that have never allowed their employees to work from home make that transition.
So what will they find when they return?
You don't want to just make changes as a result of COVID because we don't know what post-COVID is going to look like yet.
Today, a conversation with two interior designers about the changes to the workplace thanks to COVID-19 and what the offices of the near future will look like. It is Sunday, August 30th. I'm Ian Costello, and you are listening to the COIN Podcast Network coverage of the coronavirus pandemic.
Welcome to the COIN Podcast Network.
My name is Ariel Weedman. I'm an interior designer, and I own a boutique interior design firm called Weedman Design Partners.
Colleen Murphy. I am the founder and owner of Fluent Design.
Colleen, I'd like to start with you, and I'd like to start with this question. Walk me through what it was like to design interior space, interior office space before the pandemic.
Really what we would try to do is understand each client, each organization differently. You know, what's their culture? What's their values? And what are they trying to say as far as their brand outwardly to people that come in to see their space? It was pretty dense overall, especially when you get into some of the tech work that we did, open office benching systems. You know, usually you had a balance of comfortable lounge spaces, gathering areas where people could break away from their desks. So it wasn't as critical for their actual workstation to be very big because they had other areas they would go to throughout the day instead of just go to your desk and sit there all day. Obviously, those sort of solutions that have been more of the trend don't really work in the COVID era. It's an opposite mindset. You've got to keep people separated.
And Ariel, what is different about what you do now?
You know, the thing about the design and construction industry is it's longer term. You know, if it's 6 months out, that's a really fast timeline. Generally, what I'm seeing is that people want to plan long term as if we are going to essentially be able to work side by side like we were in the past. When people were first sent home to work remotely, as most businesses have been able to do, there was a lot of scrambling and questioning how quickly we could get people back and what kind of reconfiguration was going to be needed to get people back into the office. Now we're really seeing that everyone's gotten comfortable with work from home. And so I see businesses either exploring how far can we push this work from home model versus, you know, let's plan on everyone coming back to the office eventually and proceed as if life is going to be somewhat what it used to be.
And jumping off that, Colleen, how has that changed now? What is different since March 15th?
The changes have kind of been all over the place. We have some clients that are really, other than opening their office up to allow employees to go in if they need to get away from home, but the majority of them aren't planning a return until at least the end of this year, if not sometime next year. And it's mostly because the concern is doing the back and forth. They've got everybody set up at home. Everybody's working well, you know, so they don't want to necessarily pull people back in to punt them back out if, you know, we have spikes in cases. You know, a lot of what we're talking about is just short-term solutions we can do to accommodate the staff that may want to come in sometimes. And they'll usually cap that on a daily basis. We're trying to make it so that there's not the constant visual reminders of what we're dealing with and instead work with them to space things out. We haven't had too many clients introduce the plexi element. It's kind of a sort of an in-your-face barrier that's like, okay, I already have to wear a mask. Now this is in front of me showing me that we're in a totally different time. Instead, we're kind of reworking floor plans where we'll put a 6-foot radius around each desk and show them how they can rearrange to maintain the spacing now. And then, you know, we're asking them to really think about their long-term plans because a lot of them admit that they may change their entire approach to working in the office. They may have a hybrid model going forward. They need to answer those questions before they really invest a lot of money. So we're doing often like short-term solutions and then asking questions for them to start thinking long-term so that then we can revisit it as they start to officially plan to bring people back in.
Ariel, the office space didn't change size. So as we talk about getting people back into the office, what kind of immediate changes can you see coming to those open type workplaces that have been so popular recently?
Yeah, well, I can see a lot of people using their smaller conference rooms as private offices temporarily. You know, there are a number of employees that aren't going to feel comfortable going back into the workplace for a long time right now. And so the density of the office is just going to be reduced regardless. So we're seeing people alternate workstations. There's been a huge movement towards popularity for like the last 20 years, likely movement towards these large benching systems where people literally sit 5 feet apart next to each other and there are no cubicle walls or anything in place. Rather than buying all new office furniture, which frankly nobody is in the mood to do right now, we're seeing people just, you know, remove one seat between workstations and sometimes put up temporary screens between those workstations to provide a little bit more coverage. I definitely think the conference rooms are going to be used less often because nobody wants to be in a small enclosed space for an extended period of time with another person. So I see those really being converted into private workstations. Luckily, a lot of those stations already have cameras and screens built in so that people can easily collaborate from those spaces. I think we're really going to need cameras and computer screens everywhere so that teams can meet wherever they are.
Colleen, the open type workplaces that we're talking about are popular because of this shared spaces concept. What changes do you see coming to those in the short term?
We're looking at little things like conference rooms, things like that. We might have two doors, whereas we used to not have two doors. So you kind of have a flow ingress and egress. You know, things like break areas, actually, instead of having just one run of cabinetry where you've got two fridges right next to each other, then two microwaves, two coffee makers. We're almost creating like split where we'll have a fridge, a microwave, dishwasher, sink, and then another for larger projects, another fridge, microwave, so that people can spread out more.
Ariel, how much more difficult does that make your job? Would you say that the challenge of designing these different types of workplaces is fun?
Well, I think the uncertainty component has been the biggest challenge. Nobody is really clear on the timeline for when people will feel comfortable working in the office again. So that makes it hard to plan for, but I really am seeing a lot of optimism from business owners that we are going to get back to work as pretty much normal. But with this added sense of flexibility, we're seeing industries that have never allowed their employees to work from home, make that transition. And the employees are happy to have more flexibility. And the businesses are shocked and very pleased that they've been able to make the transition. So for me, that's the most exciting part, is to see how that changes the workplace.
So we've talked about the short-term changes that are coming to office spaces thanks to the coronavirus pandemic. Now I want to move into the future a little bit further. And I want an answer to this question from both of you. Colleen, I'll start with you. Is the idea of these open space, high density offices dead?
I don't think so. You know, the cost per square foot to build out a space and to occupy a space, it's really hard to carry that cost with a lower density.
Same question to you, Ariel. Do you think we've seen the last of the open concept design?
Oh boy, there are so many predictions about that, but I am going to put my money on no. I think in terms of just like the economics of how you fit people into a space, most business owners have grown accustomed to not planning for private offices for everyone.
So Colleen, where do we go from here? What happens when you start thinking about designing long-term solutions for these open concept offices?
When it comes to thinking about long-term solutions, it becomes more of that broader conversation. You don't want to just make changes as a result of COVID, because we don't know what post-COVID is going to look like yet. It's going to be a year, year and a half, 2 years, I think, before we necessarily fully understand what that's going to look like. And a lot of our habits and behaviors for how we work will have changed because of that length of time that we're kind of in this different mode. So, you know, really looking at it more holistically in how do you set up a healthier work environment that can accommodate a lot of different issues rather than just COVID. We've noticed that some of our clients are actually realizing that some of these changes can help them create a healthier work environment even during like cold and flu season. open offices, people come in and it just becomes a circle, a cycle of one person gets sick, then the next one, then the next one, then the next one. Doing some of these measures can actually help create a healthier workspace, even post-COVID.
Can you run me through some of the things you have to do thanks to the pandemic and getting office space redesigned for workers to return that those workers may not understand are needed?
A lot of it has to do with, you know, we used to create intentional collision points where if you had a large company, people would run into each other so that they got to know each other. And it's like now we have to plan flow to kind of keep people separated or kind of moving in the same direction instead of those collision points and trying to do it in a way that doesn't feel antiseptic or, you know, sterile is definitely tricky. Smaller, more intimate lounge areas where maybe just one person sits, but you can see where there's other lounge areas too, so that it still feels familiar, but you don't have like a big space with like a few sofas and tables that everyone sits at together. So it's trying to subtly do it so that it's not just in your face, you know, the plexi that we see when we go to the grocery store and things like that, because in an office environment, you don't necessarily have to have that transparent visual. You can add screens that maybe have not only a separation aspect of keeping if there's two desks, has an acoustic element too. So we, you know, we're looking for opportunities to get more bang for the buck and not only deal with kind of like adding a barrier to separate people, but maybe resolve some other issues. And there's a lot of furniture companies are coming to the plate with various products that are add-ons that we can look at, kind of trying to work with their existing products that they have, you know, furniture, rather than completely throw it out and start over.
Arielle, what do you see the office of the future looking like?
I think what we're going to see is more flexibility and having people work from home and hot desking. But essentially, you've got all these workstations. It's like a co-working space. You don't keep anything at your desk. And that's really a protocol change for companies. You are planning for not everyone being in the office every day. So you're not going to need as much space for desking. But I see a lot of people, because they're locked into a longer term lease, converting some of that extra desk space into new like lounge areas and open collaborative spaces so that people can have like large meetings, but not be enclosed in a room.
Colleen, as we were wrapping up here, what has it been like working with clients as they try and navigate this new normal and try to design these new workspaces?
It's kind of fun because I've always joked that along with having like a, you know, design or architecture degree, that I should have a minor in psychology, because really you're trying to get into your client's head. And so it's a lot of asking questions, because we walk away from the space when we're done. It has to work for them and who they are. So we've got to dive in and really kind of try to read between the lines. And so it's an interesting challenge to really dive in and figure out what do they really need for a solution? You know, are they looking for something that just gets them through the next year and a half? Or are they potentially as a company going to make a wholehearted like change in how they, you know, their employees work, whether it's 50% in the office, 50% from home. There's a lot of conversations around that. And we really want to encourage them to think about that before we make larger scale, more permanent changes, because we don't want them to have to like undo and redo. It's a lot of wasted money when we're looking at a down economy.
Colleen Murphy, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Ariel Weedman, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That does it for Sunday, August 30th. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you soon.
The Coin Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home Coin Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the Coin Podcasts in one place. The brand new Coin Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content, head to coin.com/podcasts or search Coin, that's K-O-I-N, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening.